Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Pontus and Veit from Berner & Becker, and we discuss what is happening in the German market as it relates to business travel. We look at current expectations and reasons for travel. We hear from Pontus and Veit about what they're seeing within their client portfolio, which destinations are holding up and which are challenging at the moment. And finally, touching on what opportunities may exist going forward and what might the future look like. Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started. What we wanted to get you guys to talk about here is really from your perspective of the hotel clients that you're working with, where there's an emphasis around corporate business travel, corporate business. We've seen a lot of news coming out of Europe over the last week with regards to this new fourth wave coming about. So we thought it'd be good to get you guys on board, hear what you are seeing on the ground, discuss a little bit how this is kind of affecting the German market and what you see going forward, obviously. So let's kind of kick it off and just maybe from both of you, just some initial thoughts, observations before we get into some specifics as we move forward. How are things going in Germany at the moment?
Yeah, good question. I think the initial observation is when it comes to the corporate and business market of things, that hotels shouldn't stand still and just wait for it to come back. People need to move. People need to take action. Basically adapt to the new future, also both mid and long term.
Mm-hmm. You're already coming up with the conclusion of our talk, huh? In the very beginning. That's great. No, I think obviously Pontus is right? Hoteliers who would be in a standstill even right now, obviously would be on a wrong foot to actually approach the, let's say, remainder of the year and also quarter one. I think we're all very, very conscious and also very cautious with the latest developments that are, you know, just coming in. So I don't think it's a topic that obviously only expands onto the corporate and business market. But I think, we're going to be talking around travel expectations and also, you know, means of travel moving forward. And I think with that, it's quite interesting to see which kind of things are to be awaited also for hotels.
Yeah.
No, good. Just a very fractioned landscape at this stage. Yeah.
I think that, like we also said, the initiative was also like we had a very good summer, strong fall. Now, like just in the last 10, 12, 14 days, things started becoming problematic again. But the initiative is also that we see, okay, even though things were like really good, really booming, there's a difference still to obviously the leisure traveling coming back versus the corporate and business travel. And how really that affects also long term.
That's a good point. And I think we're going to touch on a little bit in terms of what you're seeing within your portfolio as well. But I mean, just as an initial quick reaction before getting into that, because I want to pick up on your comment there, Veit, about sort of travel expectations and travel reasons. But have you, with the news coming out during the course of last week, has that had any impact from what you are seeing immediately on what was on the books maybe being changed at all?
Yeah, certainly, especially over the last 7 days, I think, let's say seven business days. I'm talking aside from, you know, just the effects on the corporate segment as such, but as more global effects, we've seen tons of cancellations coming in.
Right.
And there's been literally, at least for a couple of our city destinations, hotels, we've literally not seen any positive pickup over the last 3 to 7 business days.
Really?
And that's been a very daunting picture. But you know, if you put that into perspective on the corporate segment as such, I think there's not been too much of a change because, in actual fact, within our hotels, be it city hotels or be it any hotels being in B, C, or D destinations or locations, you know, they've rarely had any, let's say, real corporate segment business on the books at this stage anyway.
Right, yeah. Mm.
So, you know,
nothing to lose.
The effect on that segment has been not existent in that sense.
Yeah. Some has come, but like, I guess some many groups have also canceled. There was like when the first corona wave hit, the first thing that canceled were groups, and they for sure have canceled everything or almost everything now in the coming 3-4 months.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so let's go back a bit on your comment a moment there, Vite, around sort of just talking a little bit about travel expectations, travel reasons. What are you kind of feeling, seeing? What's your comments around that bit?
You want to make a start, Pontus?
Yeah, I can. I thought the one interesting thing was that, like, now in the last couple of weeks, 2-3 months, there are some cool studies out there that have also really researched this on a, I would say, good level, and talk to people in charge of travel for companies, etc. And Roland Berger actually came out with a study where it said that 55% of the respondents expect corporate business travel to decrease, but also long term, by 20%.
Really?
From before. So that's obviously a lot. And what I've seen, or what we have seen with clients, is also like leisure hotels have boomed in the summer, and also actually after the summer, because people like again to just travel, get out from the city, etc. And some cities, destinations have come back good too. But some very corporate, like business focused destinations like Frankfurt or Hanover, etc., there, even now in a very good September, corporate travel is simply on a lower level.
Right.
It hasn't come back. And I guess that also what then the study reflects. So I think the expectations is really now where we can see then with these studies and numbers that, and also internally, but that, yeah, it's lower also for the mid and long term. So it's going to take many years for corporate travel to come back. And depending on what hotel you are, and in which destination you operate, you have to do some things to adapt and make it good for the future.
Let's say like this Roland Berger study is then much more positive actually than Bill Gates is. Still, I think we all remember his statements from last year. But you know, aside from his statements having any value or not, but I think pretty much what we're seeing also from our own portfolio is that even during the course of the summer, we have not really seen that corporate segment recuperating in any way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's also something that many experts in the field touch base on. I read a study from Amex GBT, and they were saying that at least global business travel spend, will only reach the levels of 2019 by the year 2024. Yeah.
Yep.
And this obviously takes into consideration, you know, the travel spend itself. It takes any incremental spends into consideration. And I mean, if you just think about that, right, it's not only what's...
Sounds even early to me by 24.
Sounds even early, yeah. I was also a little bit wondering, but it simply shows that, you know, that whole situation does not only have that impact on hotels alone, but also on the, let's say, wider infrastructure around hotels and maybe some of the partners that hotels have, be it restaurants or be it anything in the F&B field and stuff aside. But it's just been such a fragmented picture. I mean, Pontus touched base on it a little bit, and we see that across our portfolio as well, right? There is hotels that, you know, have seen in comparison to 2019 a very large decline, obviously, in their, let's say, corporate segment figures, up to even 95% of business just being cut away. But then you also have destinations where there has, you know, also been extremely high cuts in that performing segment, but only to an extent of, let's say, 40 to 50%, mm-hmm. which obviously enables those hotels in specific locations, be it locations that are that we call, let's say, B and C destinations, probably dominated by a couple of smaller local accounts that, you know, in one way or another had the need to travel actually to that hotel and bring overnight stays. But yes, it just fragments that market in order to say, okay, there's hotels, they are certainly in a better position to come out of that, you know, huge dip. But then there's also hotels that have a pretty dire standpoint, you know, which probably have to rethink their entire business mix completely.
What did Bill Gates say, actually? I can't remember that.
Bill Gates, I think he said, Trevor, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said that 50% of business travel will fall away long term.
Okay, yeah, that's obviously crazy. Yeah. The airline industry in the US predicts somewhere between 19 to 36% less business travel post COVID. So it's a little bit, okay, what's the time span they look at? Like, at some point, it will go over again, but how many years that away that is?
It's, well, I think it's interesting. You know, you see so many surveys coming out at the moment. Yeah, everyone is obviously trying to reinforce that there is some positive attitude towards corporate business travel. I think Amadeus had something out that they were saying that 72% of business travelers are eager to travel again. I don't know if it was the same survey that you mentioned, right? But GBTA, they were saying that companies' corporate spend, 52% expected their corporate spend will return to 2019 levels by next year. I mean, I thought that, like you, I thought that seemed a little early. But again, you know, the numbers, it's all around that 50%. You know, so what that says to me is, despite whatever methods are used, there is just still such a high level of uncertainty. If everything is in and around that 50, it's a flip of a coin. You know, is it going to come back? Is it going to come back? Will it come back to the level that it came back before? When is it going to come back again? I don't know. It's a really challenging period, obviously, for that. How are you seeing it reflecting your? I mean, you've touched on some of your portfolio. If you were looking at some comparisons in terms of numbers or figures on that front?
Yeah. We took the time a couple of weeks ago actually already to do a bit of a comparison between 2021 figures, just taking the corporate segment as within Berner Becker across our portfolio. We're trying to, you know, apply, let's say, a overarching segmentation so we can obviously also consolidate different regions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just looking at that corporate segment as such and comparing 2021 against 2019, we've seen 85% of our hotels in our portfolio having declines in that specific segment between 40 and even 95%, you know, from a revenue perspective. But within that portfolio, it's very interesting to see which kind of destinations are seeing the highest declines and which kind of destinations are seeing a less, let's say, relevant decline in that sense. And I think if we are looking at hotels that have historically focused on, you know, just a number of small accounts, they are in a pretty bad standpoint right now.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you only spread out your risk, as in anything with business, onto a couple of different baskets in a way, you'll probably not be so good off with the time.
Yeah.
And especially hotels in, let's say, B and C destinations, and that's what surprised me a little bit, they have been pretty worse off. Because with those couple of smaller accounts being there, not necessarily having had the need to travel, or maybe they had travel bans in place, you know, costs on travel costs and what so on. There's a couple of destinations where we've seen the largest declines in that. But then interestingly enough, if a hotel, let's say, in a bigger destination, let's call it an A or B destination for us here in Germany.
What would B or C or A destinations be, if you can kind of give some
A B destination would probably be Hanover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. An A destination would certainly be something like Munich or Hamburg or Berlin in that sense. But there is examples in our portfolio where hotels in that A and B destination bracket, they have seen, let's say, not as large declines. Because even if they have only been dependent on, let's say, one bigger account, but that account produced, obviously, over that period of time, because they had the imminent need to travel, be it lawyers, be it, I don't know, you know, anything along that consulting line, who had the need still to travel in a way, then those hotels would have been fairly okay-ish off. And that's a very interesting picture to see, actually, from our portfolio.
And I know in Germany it's regional. Has the different views and approach within regions affected it, or is it really just you're just seeing differences between A, B, and C, irrespective of what regions they're in?
It's pretty much irrespective.
Right.
It really comes down to, let's say, the local infrastructure that is around the hotels in terms of corporate accounts sitting there. Doesn't matter which destination at the end of the day, but it really comes down to that whole infrastructure around it. But then this is not to speak of, you know, the, let's say, mitigation actions that hotels have put in place to actually overcome that shortage. Sure. That's what we can see.
And is there I guess we're back into the narrative that was going on last year, but, you know, this local business, regional business, international business. What do you, I guess international has still been pretty flat, still an over reliance around local and maybe a bit more regional than up until recently. What any insights into that side?
Yeah, I think what we've been advising our hotels and our portfolio is certainly to, you know, own the drive-in feeder markets, right? Anything that is in punch distance, anything that is in, let's say, car driving distance, basically, you get to own that space, right? And this is also where you put in your marketing efforts. And this can mean that it's very, very locally based, but it can also mean that it's regionally based in terms of feeder business coming in. And I think if we're looking across our portfolio, the hotels that have been best off in that sense are the hotels that really lived up to that statement in itself. Whereas, you know, larger destinations that probably have been historically relying on international business travel, obviously, I don't need to mention this.
Yeah.
Would have been worse off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very curious to see what some hotels and chains also will do on these destinations where it's very, very business focused and it's going to be difficult to replace it with a leisure focused tourism, whether it's from the internal or like the international feeder market or domestic. But you know, what does a 3-star, 4-star kind of not so sexy hotel in a corporate park outside Frankfurt? You know, I can imagine they had very difficult 2 years behind them, and what the plan is for those properties for the future.
That was the question I was going to ask. I mean, if we're sitting here, I mean, you guys will know you're dealing with these clients about how much of their business is made up of corporate business travel. I mean, as you say, if you're airport or just outside, you know, near an industrial estate or whatever it may be, and the vast majority of your business is corporate business travel. Well, if there's nothing else to offer bringing people into that, what's going to happen? And then I think, as you said, Veit, as well, you know, it's not just the hotel, it's all the partners that have built up around it to service that corporate business. I mean, we didn't want to get on this coffee chat to get depressed, but I think there is a reality around this. There is a reality around this, isn't there? That
people need to wake up a little bit.
I mean, just forgetting all the whole debate about will Zoom or will not, you know, it will have an impact undoubtedly, but yeah. Even if you only see 75, if 75% of business comes back and yeah, Zoom yes. only picks up 20-25, or obviously other video conferencing options yeah. are available, I think. But, you know, is 75-80% business enough for these hotels? I mean, I don't know.
It's not, and they need to, that's why we also need to grab the bull by the horn in that sense and make sure you adapt and do the change, right? Sometimes you wonder if markets and people realize, but we looked, and out of Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott and Intercontinental stocks at the moment, mm-hmm. 3 out of 4, and the fourth one is very close, but 3 out of 4 are above stock market value than pre-COVID and the high point just right. before it hit. So that's obviously a valuation of those companies that are quite optimistic, I would say, for the current period. And, you know, some of these companies are definitely more diversified than others, but some of them have a lot of corporate-focused hotels in corporate-focused destinations that mm-hmm. you just don't flip it over in a handful. So for sure they need to, I'm sure they do a lot as well and have yeah. plans of how to work. But that's also what the independent hotels need to do and the rest of the market
yeah.
to kind of realize that.
I think one of the developments that's going to come out of that is that the density of hotels in, let's say, more hipper locations mm-hmm. will certainly increase.
Yeah.
Even more, right?
Yeah.
Whereas on the other hand side, like in that example that you made, Pontus, you know, what does a hotel do that is in a corporate park,
yeah,
somewhere outside of a larger city or anything?
Yeah,
we're looking at your sea destinations. I mean,
yeah, what will you do? I mean, get rid of it.
Yeah,
probably get rid of it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not depends, not right? It very much depends, obviously, but you know. If you're looking into, you know, repositioning your hotel as, you know, I don't know, mix leisure and business in a way, bring in that local aspect, speak to the community, whatever it might be, but then still be in that same location as before where you marketed yourself as a fully corporate hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's doing the trick. At the end of the day.
Here I think that independent hotels have actually yeah. a huge advantage also versus the chains. Mm-hmm. We can be much more fast moving and fast pacing in reinventing your brand and changing your marketing and try to yeah. change or adapting your target group a yeah. bit. And we have one client in, let's say, that be Destination Hanover. If they would say... get rid of a couple of single rooms, invest in building a little bit of a spa mm-hmm. and rebranding a little bit. They can be the go-to hotel in Hanover yeah. with a good location that's very yeah. cool to go to for the bit of independent travelers or yeah. the business traveler as well, the ones that are still there. But that would for sure be thoughts in that direction I would make if I were them or if I had such a hotel.
No, that makes sense. And I guess looking forward as well, I mean, your behaviors are changing. Be interested in your kind of views as to how you know, we look into the crystal ball a little bit and look forward and how that will change. But I mean, one of the, with all that has happened, I mean, obviously we've in the UK been very aware with the COP going on here and all the talk about environment and people coming in. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about corporate social responsibility, and the environment has never really had such the prominence within corporate social responsibility as it's probably likely to now. Yeah. And so the impact of that influence, not only then with companies having budgetary challenges, so the financial, you know, the finance arm looking at how they can reduce costs, but then also pressure environmentally, you can imagine people are going to start to look at companies and how much business travel and how many flights their staff, their directors, their managers, whoever it might be on, the consultants, you know, that's surely got to have a bearing as well. To what degree? Who knows? Yeah. But I mean, what are your thoughts just broadly about how you see things possibly changing? back into that crystal ball.
No, I think the environmental aspect that you mentioned is for sure one of the most important ones. And if you look at the main four reasons for the corporate travel to decline also long term, I think that environmental is one of the number ones. And then you have obviously the technology, we don't need to mention. But you also have the comfort of people just, you know, thinking it's nice not to travel unnecessary. And fourthly, obviously, the cost saving factor for hotel, for the business. So if you can save on some travel, you would. But some will for sure come back because sales, like sales related travel or client meetings and stuff like this that simply need to happen will do. And then environmentally friendly alternatives is going to be a huge, advantage to have a focus on, both as a hotel and a transportation company. I can imagine the first electrical flight that's going to be offered between, you know, London and Berlin, that flight is going to be full like in no time. They're going to have, you know, huge demand. So,
not just for PR exercise.
Right. So, when that's not so far away, in 2026, a Swedish company is actually creating electrical flights, and United Airlines have already ordered 100 of them and boosting their development. So, shorter flights and so on, it's all kind of the future at micro airports, etc. But so if you as a hotel can adapt to that as well, make sure you are environmentally friendly and not just greenwashing in your marketing, but like really do it. A lot of the studies also show that flight travel, obviously due to this, will go down in general and be shifting to road and rail travel, depending on how good the rail system is in a country. So that is also an aspect you can take in and see, okay, how can you take advantage of that as a hotel? Do you then invest in some e-loading stations if you're a highway hotel, then and incorporate that into your marketing? Maybe you'll be better off than some of your competitors if you're quick on the ball.
Yeah, and I think that feeds into what you guys were saying before about looking at your markets, isn't it? If we can see that they're, you know, putting aside, let's say, corporate business travel returned to its pre-COVID level without any other factor, you would like to think, if you are environmentally conscious, that there will have a bearing and at least provide some sort of reduction or a lean into more environmentally friendly approaches. And so in which case, looking at that local and regional and the transportation links and how that ties in, maybe that does bring you back to your point about where you would see an increase in the number of hotels now inside city locations rather than maybe outside in the corporate commercial parks that are going on. I mean, there is likely to be an impact around those factors, surely.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. No comment to that, actually. I think you're just right there, Trevor. And I'm really curious, like, what will happen to a chain hotel in such a corporate park? Will they survive, or will they shut down, try to change the building into an office space instead, or
I guess office space, or maybe I was thinking housing. Again, you know, I don't know how it is in Germany specifically, but I know over here in the UK they've changed planning laws to make it easier to convert offices into residential, just because they know the business isn't there. But also there's a shortage of houses, and they don't want to build, you know, they don't want to be building houses in the countryside if they, you know, with the whole environmental issue as well. If they can convert a building in a city, then it achieves a number of objectives. So I don't know if that's the same thing there.
No, but that's obviously good. It's a think outside the box. We have several clients where I've heard that they take a part of their inventory and now create apartments and stuff. And that's not really, some do like long-term rental apartment kind of, you know, hotel distribution setup, but some also just, you know, they just convert it to real housing apartments and stuff.
Yeah.
In a separate block of the building and just owners of that building then. Okay. So hotel companies become real estate owners in a way for housing.
And I mean, a lot of them are real estate owners within a brand, isn't it? So I guess it depends what your structure is and who owns the building and what they want to do. But
yeah,
back to your point about changing what your property is and what it represents. If you have people then either long term, if you convert some of it to residential or you convert it to long stay, longer stay, then you in essence have a fairly captive audience within your building that you could alter provision you were providing from a hotel point of view, can't you? So you could pivot in that way as well.
Yeah.
Make it service departments.
Yeah.
Whatever in that sense.
And there must be, you know, I think many of the chains are also in, they don't really own the buildings themselves, but it's more management contracts, etc. Yeah. But they're also stuck then in those contracts, they need to pay rents. Some are based upon income, and that would be bad for the real estate owner as well, but some are not. And then, you simply need to wait out these years before it's over, then try to make the best out of it.
We have an interesting few years ahead of us.
Yeah, but it will come back, obviously, at one point. So people need to also think long-term in those decisions, obviously.
And I agree with you. I think the question always comes back to whether they can afford to, isn't it? I think, you know, I was having a conversation earlier this morning where if you take us back now, what was it? This was sort of March last year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're now, what are we, 20 months?
Yeah.
So lots of people talk about it in terms of 18 months. We're actually, you know, only 3 months out from it being 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think when we first got into it last year, there was an anticipation that it would, you know, okay, if we can see this out into September, October, and then we will return back, it'll be 6 months. Nobody expected it to be rolling out for nearly 2 years as it would be for the corporate market. So, I mean, that has got to have some huge financial implications, I would think.
Yeah.
And I think also the, let's say, intertwining between business and leisure at the same point, that will become a much, much stronger aspect also as of next year, I think, already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you see a lot of companies, obviously, giving the freedom and the choice to their employees, saying, okay, work from wherever you want, in a way. You don't have to come to any office. You just work from wherever you like to work. And this can also obviously be a, let's say, a great opportunity for hotels, actually, by, let's say, markets their approach towards, let's say, business travelers a little bit different, right? Mm-hmm. Just thinking of, I don't know, a purely leisure hotel that in the past has obviously never had anything, never had any ambition to cater for a business traveler. But that exact hotel could now be seeing a massive opportunity coming towards them because obviously people like to mix leisure and business. I think whoever makes the boldest bet on how hotel products are going to evolve in the future is probably going to be the best off. By not knowing right now what the best product will be moving forward, right? But there will be a couple of bets to make, and I think it's worth having a look into the hotel chains, what they are doing and what they are seeing, because I cannot imagine that they will be so far off.
Yeah.
I think that is something obviously independence can take as a learning aspect.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's interesting because what you discussed there about the traditional leisure going after the business market as well, that just creates another competitor that wasn't there before. You know, if you can meet anywhere or they're changing the dynamic, it doesn't necessarily need to be at a corporate park anymore. Then suddenly it opens up those avenues, doesn't it? So it's not only may demand be less, but your competitors may be more.
Yeah, it's a micro market decision at the end of the day. Will the big company around the corner in that corporate park basically come back and have? If you have Amazon as that company next to your hotel, you probably have some business. Versus maybe another one. But yeah, so people have to look. But I think there are also cool things that we have seen, or like there are some tips and tricks that hotels can do, both for the existing company business that's still out there, because there's a fierce competition around that part that's still out there and will be going forward. And then there's that aspect of what do you do in terms of renewing, retargeting to the new part. But we were saying, for example, as the competition is fierce and the business is lower, I guess hotels need to be a bit more flexible on giving LRA versus non-LRA contracts, for example. Mm-hmm. Prices in general, I would assume on a short to midterm at least, be maybe a bit decreasing. So be a little bit flexible in pricing and offering a little bit down to catch the business could be a good strategy. But there are tons of things. We have ideas and we can share more of them. But do you want to hear more?
I think we'll get you back on to hear some more. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's a tough situation. I think what we've discussed here is, you know, a lot of food for thought. I guess the one positive to draw from it is that whichever survey you read, at least there is some optimism that it will be coming back and people want to travel. I think, you know, there is that, you know, people talk about revenge travel as well. And I think there will be a desire for people to get out and meet.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
you're likely sure. to see a spike. I know when I went to Madrid recently, it was great. I mean, I don't enjoy traveling at the best of times, so I couldn't imagine having to do it as a, you know, as my regular role. But just to be able to get on a plane, just to be able to meet people physically, just to go to another city was just felt like a huge relief. But the degree to which I will enjoy doing that if I had to do it every week or every month when I've got used to managing my business in a different way, if I'm a corporate traveler, I think that will be an interesting an interesting change, which is probably going to be more than a medium term. But at least the desire seems to be there. And business still needs to happen. You know, we know that face-to-face happens.
Yeah,
Definitely.
World will never stop spinning.
Yeah. They'll find ways. We'll get back.
One tip for this revenge travel is good, because like you said, you liked it, and we've done also this thing where we combine, you know, that bit of a business travel, or we go somewhere for a long weekend, and we maybe only have business one day, or we do a second day home office, and then we enjoy. But one thing that contracts are very commonly made in hotels is that the corporate rate is only bookable for corporate purpose.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, so it's one of these standards that just are in the contract, I think. And if you proactively make your corporate rates available for personal travel from your corporate companies, then they can also then like, okay, cool, that hotel, I can then do 2 days work, and then I can bring my wife and we stay over the weekend, and I have a great rate.
Yeah.
Those, I think, that could be, for example, an advantage or added value then too.
And in the same context, obviously, combining that with, let's say, length of stay discounts.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Because if you just think about it, I mean, be it a longer weekend stay, or be it even a stay for leisure purposes during the week, right?
Yeah.
And you say, okay, I don't know, you take your family and you go away for 4 nights, anything like that. 3 days out of 4, it's business travel, and the other day, you just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But obviously, you also have that, let's say, leverage via the price, actually, and you can differentiate yourself as a hotel product from one of your competitors, right?
Yeah.
The length of stay is good, because that's also something that hotels normally don't offer in corporate rates.
No, you're right. You're right.
As you assuming a very short stay traditionally.
Not as a broad measurement, right?
Yeah.
We have been running some tests back in the old days at Hilton, with some of the more corporate heavier hotels, and that yielded some good success actually. Mm-hmm. So it certainly is something that is worth looking into for independents as well.
Yeah. I wonder also this dynamic rates if it's going to stay, because sort of been the evolution has been towards dynamic rates a lot.
Yeah.
And now I think more than ever, people or companies also want to be able to budget and have transparency. So dynamic rates is going to stay important, but maybe it's a little bit of a step back to fixed rates, just so companies also know what they're paying for.
Yeah, I think in corporate they want to be able to budget, don't they?
Yeah, I know, but it's I think it's for example, the chains, I know some of them, you know, they basically take away the opportunity, as they kind of forbid fixed rates to be contracted, because from a revenue management perspective, you want them dynamic. But if that doesn't go with the time and you lose clients because of that, it's important to react.
And we know how well sales and revenue management get on. So that
exactly,
another conversation they'll enjoy having. anyway, nice. I'm really conscious of your time, guys. There's a lot of food for thought to consider there. Any kind of final points that we haven't touched on? I think we covered quite a bit in there, actually.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a statement at the end, I think hoteliers should just be on the lookout on what's happening around them, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean follow all the news and follow all the trends, but, you know, keep an eye open and keep an eye open for hotels or hotel chains that have been, that have been often right in the past in terms of building success stories. And if you can make one or the other move, be it a bold bet or be it something that you are thoroughly invested in, then I think this is the best thing you can do at this stage.
Yeah.
Right? With all that uncertainty around it, because let's face it, no one's going to know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And comment from my side, I think travel will come back, also corporate travel, and, you know, beat pre-corona levels. But for the next 3 to 5 years, I would be very cautious of doing smart decisions to really fight for the corporate travel that is out there and be competitive and be very creative in how you can find other type of business to replace it with.
Good point. Brilliant. Guys, always a pleasure talking with you. But I think, you know, that's a... it's a conversation that seems to go on, and there's lots written about how it's all coming back and when it will be back. And it's not meant to be. Wasn't meant to be a depressing or negative conversation. But sometimes, I feel there's a lot of hype that goes on, and I never quite understand the sense of reality. And when I talk with guys like yourself who are working on the ground with properties, it's quite nice to actually hear a not quite so sure about that. There's a few things here that need to be considered. So thanks for highlighting those. Really appreciate it. Always great.
Cheers,
to
thank
great you. Chat with you. Take care.
Thank you.
You too. Stay opportunistic.
Bye.
<Take care. laughs> I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Pontus and Veit for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And until next time, thanks for listening.